Good morning. Thank you, Dave, and thank all of you, those who provided the music to go along with us, and what a blessing to be here. We're going to be continuing a message from last Sunday morning today, and so what I would like to try to do here as we get started, I am going to take you to our website, Shannon Hills Bible Chapel, shannonhills-biblechapel.org. Jonathan, I think, is going to put it up here on the screen, and I'm going to, because what I really wanted to bring out to you, I've been meaning for a while, Joe Savina is our webmaster, and I talked to Joe a while back. He's updated the our website. And I just wanted to kind of let you know what's on the website, and I'm doing that in the context of the fact that you can go back and listen to sermons that you missed or you'd like to hear again or you'd like to refer someone else to. And that's really what I wanted to kind of do, was show you the website real quickly. I'm not a techie, but I can use a website a little bit. So I just wanted to kind of show you what we have here on the website, and you might want to let others know about it too. We got a little welcome message here from our elders, but up here at the top on the menu, you've got a variety of pages, our history, what we believe, our articles of faith, different services, ministries, calendars, calendar of events. There are a number of good links to other websites, a way to contact the chapel, that email that comes to me, also telling who our elders are, a bulletin board with a lot of activities, things that are going on, and then prayer needs, birthdays, anniversaries. And I want to go over here to this side, the recordings, because that's really the reason that I wanted to show it to you, particularly this morning. But you can see there, as you click on recordings, and you can go on your phone. This is also set up for mobile devices, and it works very well with that. I've done it on my phone a number of times. But you can go down and, if, for instance, listen to Sunday sermons. If you click on that, it's going to come up and it's going to give you an opportunity to go way back. Actually, you could go back as far as 2007 right now. Joe's working on maybe even getting further back. But you go over here, and in the left side in that blue, you're going to have the current messages for Sunday evening and Sunday morning, a.m. and p.m. there. Some also, as you notice down here, this one with the little pencil beside it, you actually can, if you're on your computer, you can look at the PowerPoint as you listen to the sermon. So you can stream these, you can download these. But as we see here, last Sunday morning. So if you didn't get to hear last Sunday morning, you're coming in on the second half, and this is more for the future, or if you wanted to go back and listen. And then also, you can also listen to Wednesday evening recordings. The music that we have here, the special music, is also on the website online. Testimonials, different recorded events that aren't part of our regular meetings. Also, there's a video here that we showed. Well, anyway, I lost it real quick, but that's all right because it's time to get on with it anyway. There's also an opportunity to watch a video there. So just wanted to give you a little heads up on that, to navigating through that. It's something that can really be helpful. We have this technology that God has made available to us, and we want to use it for good. There's a lot of it obviously being used for evil. But that's true with about everything that God has given to us. Somebody finds a way to use it for wicked purposes, with Satan behind that. But it can also be used for good. So anyway, that's a real quick little look at the website. And some of you probably are there frequently. Others maybe just occasionally. Shannon Hills Bible Chapel also has a Facebook page. It's not kept as up to date as the website is, but some of you may be able to use that and maybe even go to the website from that. So we're going to start out again this morning in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to read verses 12 and 13 together. And then we're going to do a very quick little review as to bring you up to speed. How many of you were not here last Sunday morning at 11 o'clock? Raise your hand if you weren't in this meeting. Quite a few were not here. How many of you were here but you fell asleep or didn't pay attention? Just one admitting two. Okay, all right. All right, only two, the honest people over here. No, I know, just very good. So hopefully they got at least a little bit of it. So anyway, they'll get a little review this morning, but I see we definitely need a review. A number of people weren't here last Sunday morning that are here this Sunday morning. So we'll start out just by reading this verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12, written by Paul. Who was sent out by God. He was the first missionary. But of course, Paul was led in what to write by the Holy Spirit, as all of Scripture is inspired by God, breathed out by Him. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Recognize those who labor among you. The question that we are asking is, do you recognize your leaders? Here in this local assembly, we have elders. We are governed by elders. What are elders? They are God's design for leadership in the local church. They are spiritual leaders who are instructed to govern, to lead, to feed the believers in a local New Testament patterned assembly. And that's what we seek to be here, a local church that is patterned after what we find in the New Testament as the church met when they first began and as they developed. We find in the book of Acts the beginning of the church. All those who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior are a part of the church. We've been born into that. It's not something we sign up or we join, but rather it's something that we're born into as we believe on the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit of God places us into the body of Christ, the church, the called out ones. And so if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, know it or not, you are a part of the church. And then, of course, we have local churches meeting all over the world. Some local churches you could go to and would not in any way recognize anything of the New Testament pattern, possibly. It's even possible that you wouldn't hear the truth taught, unfortunately. Here we seek to meet according to the pattern of the New Testament that God has given to us. As we said last week, we have freedom within form. We have a form that God has given to us, and it's a form that can be taken anywhere in the world, and it will work. It will work anywhere, and within that form, we have freedom a lot depending on where we are and different things about our own society and culture that might determine what time we meet and what type of building we meet and what kind of songs we sing, etc. So elders are God's design for leadership in the local church. It is not to be a one-person government, nor is it to be a democracy, but rather it's to be a plurality, a group of leaders, at least two. At least two, that would be required for a plurality. And we also saw last week in several passages, again, I encourage you to go back and listen to that message, that elders are the same as overseers, are the same as shepherds. And we find those different words used, elders and overseers, in the noun form. Shepherd, not in the noun form, but in the verb form, an action. And so we can see that the elders and the overseers are also shepherds. Our principle there was that God's design is always the best design, and it's the only acceptable design. Is it done other ways? Yes. Could it possibly work? Well, in some sense, humanly speaking, we could say it worked, but is it God's way? No. We desire to do things God's way. Do we do everything perfectly God's way here? We hope so, but we recognize that we're human beings, we're fallible, it's likely that there are things that we're missing. This is not one of them. The fact that we have elders is very clear in the New Testament. What do elders do? Very quickly, we see that the three words that we looked at direct us to the three main activities of the elders, of those who are the leaders, the spiritual leaders in the local assembly. As elders, and that word elder gives us the thought of maturity, spiritual maturity. The elders are to be ones who were spiritually mature. And as elders, they lead by setting direction for the local church, by making necessary decisions, though they are not primarily a decision-making board. That is not the primary responsibility of the elders, but it is a responsibility of the elders to make decisions and also to lead by being models, by being examples, as we read in 1 Peter chapter 5. And we focused on the minds of the elders, what they think, knowing the Word of God, knowing the doctrine of Christ, being responsible to make decisions and to lead the assembly. And then as overseers, they watch. They watch over the flock, all of the flock, not just one portion of the flock, not just one particular, as we would say in our political current events today, not one interest group, but the whole assembly, all the flock, the responsibility of the elders, and also to watch out for dangers to the flock. We emphasize here the eyes of the elders, what they see. And then, of course, as shepherds, we see from the Scripture that they care for the flock. They care for the flock. Here we thought about the heart of a shepherd and what they feel. Caring for the flock through feeding, through the Word of God, feeding by the Scriptures, ministering, coming alongside the sheep and being there with them and praying for the assembly as individuals and as a unit corporately all together. Finally, why do elders serve? Well, it's not to be a desire for power or prestige, not looking for a position, but rather there should be the motivation of a sincere concern for the flock and a true desire to honor the chief shepherd. That is what should be motivating the elders in the local assembly. And we saw there our principle, a man who seeks a position for power is not to be entrusted with something as precious and valuable as the flock, which we read in Acts chapter 20, is purchased with the blood of the Lord Jesus. So that is where we got it to this part. We started this idea of how are elders selected. We began to look at that last time. So Let's just review very quickly to get up to where we were. First of all, they're not to be selected based on popularity. Who's the most popular? Who's been in the local church the longest? Who has the most money? Who's the most influential in the community? Those are not the reasons to select someone. Now, the person that functions as an elder, he may be all of those and more, but that is not criteria for the selection, but rather by the Holy Spirit. If you turn with me back to Acts chapter 20, we're going to look at a couple of scriptures this morning. We don't have time to look at all of the scriptures that have to do with elders, but we're wanting to think about this idea of how are elders selected. As I mentioned last week, this is particularly on the radar right now because we have four elders presently functioning, which is definitely a plurality. And if it's God's will, we can definitely do what needs to be done in leading and overseeing and feeding. We can do that, but we know that God is also always raising up other elders. In the past, historically, we have had more elders than we have now. That does not mean that we don't have enough right now or that there's somebody that we're not seeing that we should be seeing, but it could be by the same token. But we're wanting to make sure that the assembly knows that we are very aware and very concerned, and it's not since we got to four elders that we started praying, hey, we need some more elders. No, I can assure you that for at least 15 years, we have been praying about elders and having different brothers sit in with us at different times and recognizing elders during that period of time. Acts chapter 20, here Paul, as we said last week, he is speaking to the elders from the local church in the city of Ephesus, which is in modern-day Turkey. And he is on his way to Jerusalem, and he stops. He's on board a ship and doesn't have time to go to Ephesus, but really wants to talk to those leaders, those shepherds, those overseers, those elders. So he calls them to Miletus. We see in verse 17, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And go down to verse 28. We read this whole passage last week, but again, for sake of time, we're going to move down into verse 28 today. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. We see in verse 17 that they were the elders. We see in verse 28 that they were the overseers. We see in verse 28 that they were to shepherd, and we see that it was the Holy Spirit who made them overseers. It was not a matter of everybody in the assembly getting together and having a secret ballot and selecting. Rather, the Holy Spirit had made them overseers. And we stressed that last week, and that's pretty much where we got to. So we're gonna move ahead. And we're going to see, as we think about the elders being selected, I want to mention several things. First of all, the display of the presence of a desire. 1 Timothy 3:1, I'll just read that verse to you. 1 Timothy 3:1 through 7, we have some of the qualifications for elders. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, which is the same word as overseer in the Greek. If a man desires the position of an overseer, he desires a good work. So there's that desire. In other words, no one should be an elder who doesn't have the desire to be an elder. In 1 Peter 5:2, we read that shepherds are to shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly. There should be a willing desire. And that's important because you see, the work of a shepherd, the work of an overseer, the work of an elder, the work of a leader in the local assembly is just that. It's work. It's not a position to be sought, to have a higher, to appear to be higher than others. It's not something to make you feel good about yourself. It's a work. And it's going to be work if it's done properly. And it can be a difficult work. It can be a frustrating work. It can be an unrewarding work, humanly speaking. It can be a long work. But it can also be a joyful work. And it is a joyful work. And if you're there because God has put the desire in your heart, and if the desire isn't in your heart, don't feel guilty. Don't feel bad. The desire should be in the heart of the leader because God has put it in the heart of the leader. Are there people who have the desire to be an elder that God didn't put the desire there? Yes, very likely, because we're human beings and sometimes we seek something from the flesh, not from the Spirit. But if the desire is not there, again, I'm going to say don't feel guilty about that. Now, you could pray, Lord, if you want me to be an elder, give me the desire. Put it there. Burn it in my heart. We see that desire evidenced in someone who is already doing a shepherding work. In other words, they're not just looking for a position. They're not just looking to be in a place of decision-making authority, but rather they're already involved in areas of leadership. They're already involved in watching out and watching over. They're already involved in taking care of other believers. They're not waiting till they get into a position. You know, there's very few things that an elder can do that somebody that's not an elder can't do. Think about it. There are decision-making responsibilities that the elders have. But you know, a lot of what the elders do, anyone in the assembly can do and should be doing, as we saw last week. If the body is functioning properly, there's really not as much need for as many elders. though we definitely need them, and we need them for the future as well as for the present. You know, there's a desire to be with the sheep. Desire to be with the sheep. If God has put a desire for someone to be with the sheep, guess where they're going to go? To where the sheep are, right? If they know the sheep are getting together and they want to be with the sheep, what are they going to do? They're going to go to where the sheep are. Now, they're probably going to be at the meetings of the local assembly because they know the sheep are there and they're concerned about the sheep and they want to be with the sheep and they want to say, what can I do to help the sheep? Well, the sheep are coming together. It's not the only time you can help the sheep when they're gathered together, but it is definitely a time when you can be with the most sheep that you're going to be with at one time. And so we'll see that in the heart of one who the Lord is raising up to be an elder. It's the Holy Spirit that makes overseers. It's not us. We can encourage. We can seek to train. We can model, and we should. But the Holy Spirit is the one who is making the elder, and we can't put it in the heart. We can't put it in the heart. The Lord has to give the desire. And then also there's going to be the display of scriptural qualifications. Look with me, if you would, at 1 Timothy chapter 3. And we're not going to have time to go through all of these individual qualifications. People number them differently. Some are synonymous between 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, and Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. But if you take those, and I come up with about 22 qualifications based on these two lists here. And some people have more than that that they come up with. But I'm going to not try to go through all 22 of those. It wouldn't be practical today. But just to get a feel for it, I do want to read these qualifications. We read verse 1. Let's start at verse 2. A bishop or an overseer is the literal translation there. An overseer then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. I want you to notice there at the very first thing that's mentioned in verse 2, and if you go to Titus 1, you'll see it again. The very first thing mentioned is that an overseer must be blameless. Blameless. Your translation may say above reproach. The idea of blameless is this: not that you can't blame him for anything, but it's kind of like, I remember when I was learning how to cook spaghetti noodles. I was in college. And I remember that somebody told me, here's how you know spaghetti noodles are ready. You take it and you throw it against the wall, and if it sticks, it's ready. Anybody ever done that? Have you used that method? All right, it works, all right? It works. And it's ready. You throw it against the wall. So the idea of a blamelessness is if you threw a charge at this person, it wouldn't stick. It wouldn't stick, okay? In other words, if somebody came up to you and said, brother so-and-so did this, and if it was something very negative, you'd say, I can't believe that. Now, it doesn't mean it's not true. It doesn't mean an elder is above these things. But it means that the elder has the kind of testimony and reputation within the assembly and outside of the assembly that if somebody made a charge against them, it would be very hard to believe. You'd have to hear it a number of times from a number of people. And maybe you'd even have to hear the confession from the person's own mouth to ever get to the point where, I just can't believe that about him. Some people, unfortunately, an accusation is made and you say, I hate that, but I was afraid that might happen. I was worried about him. I was concerned. Maybe you'd, but somebody who's being raised up by God to be an elder, that should not be true, because there's got to be an example. There to be an example for the flock. And so this idea of being blameless overarches all of the other scriptural qualifications. You can kind of put this over top as a big arch, and all the other ones fit under there. Again, it's not that they're perfect. It's not that they don't have any flaws, because we all do. But there has to be a character that's there, that's seen. There has to be a character in line with the Word of God. A character in line with the Word of God. As you read through these and you read through Titus, I'm just going to give you a real quick summary, kind of where I saw them fitting together. First, there was this idea of self-control, temperate, sober-minded, not abusing substances, not violent, not greedy or covetous, not insistent on his own way, slow to anger. These are all things that have to do with being under control, having the self under control. And then there's the idea of humility. Self-control is the elder dealing with himself. Humility is the elder dealing with others. He's to be hospitable. He's to be gentle. He's to be peaceable. He has to speak the truth, but he speaks the truth in love. And then there's godliness in our relationship with God before others. He's to be just. He's to be holy. He's to have the attitude of a steward of God's flock. Some of these I'm pulling out of Titus chapter 1, and you can see them there as you read later. And then there's the idea not only of having a character that's in line with the Word of God, but a family that's in line with the Word of God. A man who is committed to his family. He's committed to his wife. He's a one-woman man. He's committed to his children. I'll never forget Charlie Crawford, who was an elder here for many years, and he told me one time, he said, "You know what?" He said, "God tells you to love your wife as Christ loved the church. He never tells you to love the church as Christ loved the church." And that's always stuck with me. Not that we're not to love the church. We are. And if we're going to function according to the scriptural command where the Lord Jesus said, this is how everybody's going to know that you're my disciple, that you love one another. It's not just for elders. It's not just for elders. These qualifications should be something that we all strive for by the Spirit of God, by the grace of God, by faith. But we're to have a commitment to our wives and our children. We see that in these qualifications. How important to have a wife that is supportive of her husband functioning as an elder. It's not an easy thing, I mentioned earlier. There's a lot of sacrifice that goes along with being a leader. And you know that. That's true if you're in business, if you're in education, if you're in sports. If you're a leader, sacrifice goes with that. The same thing is true in the local church. And so there has to be a wife who's supportive, who's encouraging, who's willing to allow her husband to do that. I say allow, and I think you know what I mean. She can make him miserable in what he does. And it's difficult. It's a difficult role. It's very important. Children who are faithful, not necessarily saved, but if they're in the home, that they're faithful, that they're under control. Paul says, if a guy can't control his own family, if his family's going wild while they're under his authority, how is he going to take care of, how's he going to care for the sheep? You know, I thought about it like this. If there was an application, like an employment application, you know, you go fill out the employment application and ask for references. If there was an employment application for elders, could you put your wife and your children as references? You know, what we see when we come here together this morning is one view of one another, isn't it? It is. It's not necessarily what goes on at work. It's not necessarily what goes on in the home. Paul wrote they have to have a good reputation with those who were outside, a good testimony before the world. You know, a man may appear to be a leader in the local church, but you go ask his co-worker. And you find there's another side to this person that doesn't show up, maybe even in the home. So important. So important. Again, not just for elders, These scriptural qualifications should be something that all of us desire to meet. And then there has to be the ability with the Word of God. They know the Word of God. We don't have to be scholars in that sense. There's always going to be somebody who knows more than you do. There's always going to be somebody who knows more than I do. And there are people sitting in this room who I would say know the Bible better than I know the Bible. So it's not that you have to know everything, but you have to know the Word of God. You have to know the truths of Scripture to have the ability to teach others also. And we find that in Titus. He says, you know, sometimes you have to take the Word of God and you've got to correct people. You've got to correct them with the Word of God, not with your opinion, not with your church tradition. You've got to correct with the Word of God. We've got to have an ability with the Word of God. And then there's recognition by the current elders. Again, the elders have been raised up as leaders, so we have responsibility in this. Ultimately, there's a safety in plurality. There should be a harmony in working together. We're seeking those that God has given a like-mindedness. Not that we don't want dissenting opinions. We disagree with each other in the elders' meeting sometimes. Now we can have some pretty heated discussions at times. Not frequently, but occasionally. But that's okay. That's okay. We're seeking to come to the mind of God. But we have to have those who are willing to be team players. If it's a solo, a Rambo guy, a Lone Ranger, then that's not going to work. You got to be part of a team, because the shepherding ministry is not just one person, but rather it's a group of men that God has called together, that He has raised up to discern the mind of the Lord and to minister among the sheep together. Someone who understands the gravity of the role and the responsibility. Someone who has an elder's maturity. The overseer's perspective, again, of the whole assembly. Being sensitive to every group, every individual sheep. Somebody has a shepherd's heart. And then there has to be an acceptance by the flock. Now again, it's not a vote. It's not a democracy. That's not the idea. But if someone is recognized by the elders as an elder, and three-quarters of the assembly goes, "What? I never saw that coming." You know, that should make us wonder. In other words, you know, I encourage you, and a brother asked me this back when I was a college student, and I've asked others the same question, but he asked me, "Who do you see in your assembly that you feel that God is raising up as an elder?" That's a good question for all of us to be thinking about and praying for those people. And we give opportunity. When we do recognize someone as an elder, they've already come in and sat in with the elders for a period of time. At the end of the Lord's Supper, before we would recognize them, we would mention that we would announce that we're looking at this brother. We think that the Lord is raising him up. And if you know any reason that this brother should not be recognized as an elder, you come and talk to the elders. And we're sincere about that. And that same thing was said before I became an elder, was recognized, and I think some people came and talked to the elders, and I'm glad they did. And the elders worked through that, and they discussed it with the person. They get the information. They make a determination. Again, we're not looking for someone who has no flaws, or we wouldn't have any elders. The four of us would have to resign today if it had to be somebody with no flaws. That's not the point. Is he making elders? We believe that he is. We believe that God is raising up elders right now. We don't know where he is in the process of particular brothers, but we know that the Holy Spirit makes elders. And our responsibility as an assembly and as elders is to recognize the handiwork of God and to say, God is raising up this brother as an elder. God raises up many brothers and many sisters for many responsibilities in the local assembly that are vital, that are important. And if someone is not recognized as an elder, it doesn't mean they're unspiritual. It doesn't mean they don't know the Word of God. It doesn't mean they can't get along with people. It doesn't mean they're not leaders. It doesn't mean that. It just means that as best that we can tell as elders right now, this brother at this moment in time, God has not raised him up. But God's working in his life. God's using him. We need him. We need each other. We're trying to recognize his handiwork. What is our relationship to our elders? This is the last point that we're going to make, and I'm not sure how well we're going to be able to make it in this time. We'll see how the Lord leads us in that. But one thing I just wanted to mention, first of all, is that when we think about our relationship to the elders that God has raised up, first of all, we need to remember that elders are shepherds, but they're also sheep. Okay? Elders are also sheep. We're part of the flock. We have a responsibility, but we're not only over the sheep as overseers, 1 Peter 5:2. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers. 1 Thessalonians 5:12, where we started off today. Those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord. You see, shepherds need to smell like sheep. Okay? If you go out into the Middle East, or you go to Ireland, or you go to somewhere, somebody here in Guilford County that has sheep, if they spend a lot of time with the sheep, and they come up to you and hadn't bathed, guess what? You're going to smell sheep, right? So what is that odor? Or what is, you know, sheep, they look so sweet, but they don't smell so sweet, all right? That's no reflection on the sheep in this assembly, by the way. I'm not saying that. You smell great. Best I can tell from here. And I smell great to you. But the point is, the elders want to be among the sheep. We don't want to be viewed as over there or out there. We don't want anybody to see us as a group of elitist, narrow-minded, self-centered men making self-serving decisions behind closed doors. And I'm afraid that some people feel like that. Maybe some people here this morning. Maybe a lot of people here this morning. I don't know. But as I shared last week, you know, growing up as the son of an elder, I had some really wrong attitudes about the elders. I had some really wrong criticisms. Was I never right? Well, maybe I was right, but I wasn't as right as I thought I was. And you know what? At times I thought they were a group of men sitting behind closed doors making decisions that they liked and only cared about themselves, and that was so far from the truth. And when I found it necessary, because of my failure, to be called in to meet with the elders, I found something very different. I found shepherds who loved me, which I should have already known now. I shouldn't have had to wait till then. Elders who cared about me. Elders who wanted to minister to me. Elders who wanted to see me come up from where I had fallen and to be brought to where God wanted me to be. That's what I found. And that's what we have here as elders in this local assembly. And I don't want you to have to come to the point where I came to find yourself in that situation. I don't want that. I want you to understand now from testimony. And you might say, well, that's kind of self-serving, Mark. Stand up there and tell us how much you love us and how much the other elders love us. But I'm telling you that from reality, because I work with these men. And I know it's true. And we do love you. And we want to be with you more. We want you to know that we care. We're not infallible. But we're trying. We're wanting to grow. We're wanting to learn. I'm going to have to finish this up next time, and that's okay. That's okay. I've got a closing slide, and I don't know. Let me find it real quick, because I just want to go to this slide. Let's close with this. We'll close with this, and we'll use it again next time, probably too. Let me just make this statement. We might not get back here again. I might die, you might die, the Lord may come and take the believers back. Your elders love you and desire to work alongside you for the glory of the Lord, the building up of the church, and the spreading of the gospel to the world. That we want to glorify the Lord together. We want to do what's best for this assembly as best we know how. We are seeking the mind of God. We're seeking the mind of God. Here's one last plea. Be patient with us and pray for us. We need your prayers. Next Sunday morning, our brother Sam Thomas from India will be here. But the following Sunday, we're going to go back and talk a little. We'll talk more about this idea of relating to the elders and what are our responsibilities in relating to the elders. I want to echo what Dave has said regarding the survey. You know, that's one of these practical areas, kind of a real time thing where we're wanting to know your thoughts on this idea of small groups. We hope we've explained it well enough on the survey and have given a lot of different options. We're really open before the Lord. We want to feed the flock. We want to minister to the flock. And if this is one way that we can do it and God can use, we want to move forward with that. And we need your input. I want you to communicate with the shepherds. You're going to see that's one of the responsibilities we'll look at next time. Communicate with the elders. We're going to close in prayer. Thank you for your time this morning, letting me share from my heart. Again, as I said last week, this is somewhat of a family conversation. If you're visiting with us, we welcome you, and we trust that the Lord used this in your life as well, because this is biblical. This is the Bible that we're teaching here, God's Word regarding the leadership of the local church, and we're excited about the future of the assembly and what God is doing and how He's working and raising up leaders and how He's using you and how He wants to use you. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, we just say there's no better shepherd. He's the good shepherd who gave His life for the sheep. He's the great shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. He's the elder, the overseer of our souls. So we hope you know Him as your Savior. If you don't, we'd love to talk with you how you can be forgiven of your sins and brought into a personal, eternal relationship with God. A gift by grace through faith, not of works. It's all the work of the Lord Jesus on the cross. He's risen again. Let's pray in His name. Father, thank You for our time this morning. What a blessing to be able to share, Father, from the heart, Your Word. Now, Father, we thank You for the truth of Your Word, and we confess that we are consistently seeking to rightly divide it. We want to be workmen that don't need to be ashamed. Father, we want to be faithful in digging into Your Word and understanding the Scriptures and making proper application. Help us as we seek to do that for Your glory. And I thank You for those who were here this morning. Father, most, if not all, are Your sheep. And You care for them more than we do. And You love them more than we have any idea of what love even means. And Father, those who don't know You, You're calling to them this morning by the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit who makes overseers is the Holy Spirit who calls and convicts men and women and young people and boys and girls of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Please do that, even through the Scriptures that have been shared this morning. You're able to do that, Lord, and we commend ourselves to You, giving You thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you so much. May the Lord bless you this week. Our brother's going to play just a verse. Meditate on what's ahead of in front of you there, and then we'll be closed.